Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Mikey, for your service today. Yeah, I'm cat addict. I liked what Stefan said, you know, like that he's just a junkie, a little junkie, and he ended up, you know, in this trusted servant role, and that's been my experience really, you know, that I've gone from like the scrap heap as is described in the big book, you know, to a life infinitely more useful than anything I could have ever dreamed of, you know. I think for me, you know, this has been the most opportunity I've had for growth in my time in fellowship since I first came in, because this is such a scary thing to do, you know, and I suffer with a fear-based illness. I constantly I always have to keep going back to my higher power, and I have to work this program with all my heart, because otherwise I become paralyzed with fear. You know, I start doubting myself. Every single person who I've heard today, every person has doubted themselves, you know, and not quite sure what they've got to bring or why they're doing this, you know, and that's exactly how I felt, you know, I started out in 2012, and I remember going to my very first meeting, and it was because of someone who worked in the services, you know, who brought me. So when we were hearing about PI before and H&I, you know, all of those different things, I went into rehab. One of the services brought me to my first meeting, and I saw people there. There was a guy actually who chaired the meeting, and he had a briefcase and he wore brogues, and I thought, well, he must be very important, you know, because I was a heroin addict. I'm a heroin and crack cocaine addict, you know. I've spent over 25 years on prescription drugs. I've come from some very low places really, and there's this guy chairing the meeting, and you know, I just thought, these people, you know, these are professionals, this is what they do for their job, you know. And as I stuck around, as the fog began to clear from me, I started to see that people had service, you know. People would, like, the guy every now and then would throw me the bag of key rings and say, you know, you do the key ring countdown, and I felt amazing, because I felt like a part of something, you know, like I think Mikey was saying before about this ship, you know, this big fellowship. And my very first meeting, someone said to me, get into the lifeboat, get in the middle of the lifeboat. Don't sit on the edges dangling your feet off. Get right in the middle and pick up an oar. Start rowing, you know. And for me, this has been like the saving grace, really, because, you know, this works when all else fails, doesn't it? Intensive work with others, being of service, and working this program, you know. And so this ship for me, this fellowship, it's like that great liner, but it's, you know, there's all sorts of jobs, and there's all sorts of people on this liner, you know. This is God's ship, my higher power, our higher power, whatever it may be, you know, this spiritual principle that resides over Cocaine Anonymous. This is the guide, and we all do its work, you know, and that's how the ship keeps going, you know. We don't know the plot of where it's going to, we don't know where it's heading to, anything like that, but, you know, I turn up each day and I do my work, and that's all that's asked of me, you know. So I got service at group level, and I'd see people coming back from district, and I used to think, oh, I wonder what this district is, you know, I wonder where I imagined it was something like Crown Court, you know, where there'd be people sat with, like, you know, on high tables and like big things behind them, all shiny things. And I remember, like, I had good sponsorship, and my sponsor tricked me really. She said, you know, come along to the district. It was in Liverpool at the time. Come along to the district and, you know, help me make the teas and stuff. And I remember going along, and there was a lady who was chairing the district. Tom will know who it was. And I looked at this woman and I thought, wow, she's, you know, she knows everything. She's really, like, confident. And, you know, the district was very busy, and, you know, and I was making brews, and I felt really like at home, you know, being useful and getting to know people from all over the district. They were all coming in from, like, from their home groups and everything. And it made me realise that this fellowship is so much more than just my little group, my little Friday night meeting. There was so much more to it than that, you know. The Tradition 7, I learned about where Tradition 7 went, and like the guys who've spoken before, you know, all of the subcommittees, how they need money to do their work and everything like that. It was just amazing, you know. I got to travel, you know. I, when the district started moving around, I travelled with the district, because it was that camaraderie, you know. I'd met people who gave up their Sundays for others, you know, the people all who were there who, with all the literature bags, you know, and like giving out all the literature, and then you'd take it back to your group, and, you know, and then you'd watch newcomers getting these leaflets and giving away little big books and stuff like that. And it gave me this sense of satisfaction that I was being useful, because I'd never really been useful, you know. Probably when I was 16, I made a decision based on self, you know, where I thought, right, I like drugs. I like the effect produced by drugs. You know, I like the sense of ease and comfort I get from that. And I thought, this is going to be my life. I'm going to always have to take drugs to make me feel okay. You know, and like I say, I sort of slipped away from life. I became a mum at 18. I was on benefits up until the year 2012. I've never had a job. And then, like I say, I came into fellowship, and suddenly people were trusting me and giving me jobs. You know, I was entrusted with the keys to open up the building, and I knew how important that was, because if I had the keys, if I wasn't there, nobody could get in. You know, there was times where I was sent home with the bag of, with the tea and the coffee in, and people knew, I think, I was a bit of a flight risk, and it's like, take this home, calf, bring it back next week. And I knew there was times on those days where I think, I'll just phone someone and tell them I can't come, you know, can they come and pick the bag up and stuff like that. But the truth was, I wanted to be there. I started to feel a part of, and I got service of district. I became a DSR for the Northwest District, and I started then traveling down to the area, which at the time was in Boreham Wood. Now for me, that was absolute miles away, because we didn't have a DSR in the Northwest at the time. You know, and it was, I took on the service position because I wanted to be useful, and I wanted to give back to this fellowship that had given me so much. And then, so I didn't really have anybody to show me where it was or what to do or anything like that. But I just had this willingness, this just absolute willingness to go. I say, you know, I suffered with this fear-based illness, and I was always, always full of fear. I'd travel all the way down to London. Then I'd have to travel across London to Boreham Wood, and then right up this massive high street, you know, to get to this bloody scout hut. It wasn't Crown Court at all. It wasn't in some big, massive, beautiful building. It was a scout hut. That's where the area was held, you know. And I met people there like Justine and Steve and, you know, people like that. And I started to feel a part of even more, and I started to grow in confidence and in this program, because like I say, I suffer with fear. When my term was up at DSR for the Northwest, I didn't want to just go back to being in the district. I wanted to stay serving the area I liked being a part of, and I liked the work that they did. It felt a lot like a secret society in a way, because the rest of the world was all getting on with their lives, and there was lunatics like us sitting in scout huts and in church halls on the weekends, you know, like serving. And it's a really like humbling thing to do, isn't it, to serve your fellowship, to serve the people who you've given to you, you know. And I remember I was sat there in this scout hut next to Justine and Steve, and, you know, all of us, our DSR services were up, and, you know, Justine put her hand up and to go and be a delegate. And I was thinking, oh my God, Justine, you know, this is completely different service to what I've done before, you know. And I knew in my spirit that it wasn't my time to be a delegate. I knew that I had a lot more growing to do, you know. Steve went on and became the area vice chair, and I took on the chair of the steering committee for 2 years, which was an amazing, amazing service position. And because of that, I continued to grow. And the reason I'm giving this CV really is because by the time I got to delegacy, I knew I was ready, you know. And like I say, 2 years in the steering committee, getting people together, you know, we were given tasks to do. Even getting up on the stage or in front of the area and having to report back was crippling for me at times. You know, having to stand in front of people and report back. You know, I'm a very sort of like introverted person really, and I think that's what made me such a good heroin addict, was because I'm not someone who ever went raving, you know. As someone who went out and scored and came home, and that's what I like to do, you know. I like to be in the quiet, I like to read, listen to music. So for me to be at the front of the fellowship, stood at the front, you know, getting committees together and sorting things out. This is where my higher power wanted me to be. You know, this is where the every morning, right, I get up and I get on my knees and I say, God, you know, build with me and do with me as thou wilt, as part of my step three prayer. I say that every single day. For God, do with me and build with me as thou wilt. So when these opportunities come along, I have to go with them. If it's in my gut and it's being presented to me, I have to do, because that's what I'm asking every day, to build with me, you know. And I my term came up as the steering committee chairman. I knew that it was time to stand up and ask, you know, put myself forward as a delegate. Now, this was in the Northwest District. You know, we used to go around before the lockdown days. We'd go around, travel around the country. And this is my home district. And I got an opportunity to stand before the GSR Assembly and put myself forward as a delegate, you know. And I felt like crying, because I'd never been trusted with anything in my life. You know, I was a thief as a child. You know, I was a thief by the time I was 6 or 7 years old. And you know, for me to stand before the fellowship and for them to say, yeah, we'd like you to carry the conscience of our area at World, that was massive for me. And it still is today. It still is today. Such an honour, you know. But it doesn't mean, I don't want anyone to think that these service positions that we've been talking about today, are you going up in the world? Because they're not. Because the when you get to that level of service, you've actually got more and more people to answer to. You know, it's like, it's one of those service positions where so much of it happens out of sight. You know, but my weekends are mostly in committees. You know, I've like I said, put myself forward. And at that time, I didn't know what to expect. I started to learn about the concept. I went back through the traditions and I started to attend like delegate committee meetings, and you know, and then it was time to go to LA. Last summer I was flying out to LA to carry, you know, be one of the delegates to carry the conscience, and I was so frightened. I remember sitting here at home the day before I was going. I had my suitcase packed, everything was arranged, you know, the travel coming to pick me up to take me to Manchester Airport, everything was all arranged. And I felt like I could have just died. I could have had a massive panic attack and died, because I was so fearful, because I didn't know what it was going to be like when I got there. I didn't know who was going to be there. I didn't know what was expected of me, except that it was going to be long. It was going to be long, long days, you know. And say I got there, I flew all the way to LA and I got there and I went and had a look at the conference floor. You know, I went in and it, there's this big, they call it a dais. Or maybe I'm saying it wrong with my accent, but it's like a dais. It's like a stage, you know, and up on the stage, you have like the chair, the world conference chair. And next to him, you have like the parliamentarian. And then there's two secretaries with these massive big screens. So all the way through conference, and it's 5 days, it can be up to 12 hours a day, these ladies are typing. That's their service. They type constantly. Everything that's said is written down, you know. I think one of the first things I had to do was I had to go into the new delegate orientation process, where you get sat with someone who's been there for many, many years usually, because a lot of these people have got like 20, 30 years clean time. And to me, that was quite overwhelming to see people who were so clean, because, you know, I don't know what it is. I just think, well, they must be better than me, you know, because I suffer with this low self-esteem and this fear-based illness, you know. And conference started and, you know, people would get up on the floor and, you know, all of the different committees, like we've heard from today, the subcommittees, you know, but we have like literature chips and format, we have World Conference, we have the Convention Committee, and all of these people would come up and report, you know, on what their service was throughout the year. The trustees would report. I mean, the trustees are the guys who do this all year round. You know, every day of the year, the trustees are looking after the fellowship for us so that we can carry on with our work in the rooms, you know. And I was told that while I was being a delegate, it was not advisable for me to take any service of district or area, because I can't be sort of biased in that. You know, I have to like carry the vote to area, but not in a district or in, you know, I have a home group, which I haven't been to since the end of March, obviously, You know, I was the tea person at my home group, and what I absolutely loved about that was it's in like an old church hall and they have like a bit of a cafe. And I was the tea person, and I could pretend that I was like working in the cafe because I'd be behind the bar, and people would come in and I'd bring nice biscuits, and I'd, you know, I just love it. I just love this fellowship with all my heart, you know. And like I say, going back to Wales, the amount of people that are there doing service is quite inspirational, really, you know. The committees that I remember, they say to you about day two or three, you know, go to the committees because they have these breakouts. So all of the committees meet with all of their delegates who from all around the world, and they go and meet. And I went at the first one I went to was Unity, and that was what I thought I would become a part of, the Unity Committee. And when I got there, it just didn't feel right. And I went in this other room, and it was the Literature Chips and Format, and these people scared me. They scared me because they were so organised. They were all like, they knew what they were talking about. You know, there was like so many years of clean time there, and they were having a presentation on the 12-step companion guidebook, which is going to be like our working guide, you know. And they had this big presentation, and this lady was stood at the front, and they were going through it. And I thought, this, even though this is scary, this is where I need to be. I need to be on this committee, because you know what I always think about? I think about all of the people who put 50 pences in the pot. You know, people put pennies, whatever, into that pot to carry, so that I could carry the conscience at world. You know, I don't take any of this lightly at all. Like I say, I've never been trusted, and for me to be where I'm at today, you know, World Service Delegates is unbelievable. You know, it is a spiritual job, and I suppose the main part of it is about being trusted. And, you know, that I'm buddied up with a few different districts, and I go around and get an opportunity to be helpful there as well. Because like I say, I've never really felt useful or helpful in my life until I became a member of Cocaine Anonymous. You know, I do suffer with this fear belt-based illness, like I say. And, you know, when I joined the Literature Chips and Format Committee, I didn't really know. I think a lot of my service, I've never really known what to expect. You know, I think it's been my blind faith really that's carried me into it. You know, I've just gone along because my gut has pushed me. You know, my inner calling has gone, you can do this, go and do this. And I've just done it, and I've learned as I've gone, which is, like I say, helped me to grow in my recovery and in my program. I think the main thing, like I say, is that I am a trusted servant, and these service positions that I do today, most of it, like I say, is done, you know, behind the scenes, really. And I suppose that's something about this spiritual job, isn't it? It's that, you know, it's that anonymity. You know, I some weekends you can be like in two or three different committee meetings, you know. And I've worked on our common welfare pamphlet. I'm currently working on a 12-step concepts guide, you know, so groups can have a better understanding, and districts can have a better understanding of the concepts. I also I've been working on a online meetings pamphlet, and the 12-step companion guidebook. You know, there's so many things. I serve at area. You know, it's one of those things, like I say, it's hard to put into words how much it means to me. You know, I continue to learn, and I can continue to grow. And I just wanted to finish with something out of the 12 and 12, really. And it's so there's two things, you know. Like, I think the most important thing that I remember about myself is that I'm a servant, not a senator. You know, it says in tradition too, we're servants, not senators. You know, the more I do this, the more I realise, you know, the weight of it. It's a beautiful service position, and I'm so honoured to do it. But in tradition one, it says most individuals cannot recover unless there is a group. Realization dawns that it is a small part of a great whole. And like I say, when I went to conference and I saw probably about 200 people all there serving their areas from all around the world, I realized that, you know, the true power does lie in the group, and we all are all a small part of a great whole. And, you know, I just want to say thank you, really, Tom and Mikey, for putting on today, and for asking me to come and speak, you know, because like I say, I've got one of those heads that I never really think I've got anything to say, you know, and I'll talk for a little while and then my head will go, just shut up. You know, and it's like, it's living with that, isn't it? It's living with that. But I have a program today and a power in my life that takes me all over, you know, and it's my great honor to serve Cocaine Anonymous and to serve CA UK. And I'd just like to say thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Mikey. Thanks, everyone.